How competitive are you? It's not whether you like sports, because that's not the only competition. There's the competition within the family. Who's the favorite son? Who's the favorite daughter? We laugh because our 14-year-old granddaughter is our favorite granddaughter, our favorite oldest granddaughter. But we don't have any other older ones. So she wins. Competitive. Sometimes we like competition. My mom loved the Olympic ice skaters. You know, it's not like we watch ice skating all year round at our house, but she liked the Olympic ice skaters. And you know, when that happens, it isn't until the last skater has taken the ice of the last event and the scores are posted that you know who wins. There are many events like that. Even in a kind of a collegial competition, there's a golfing tournament I watched once on TV called Skins, and I think you know by now I'm not a golfer. That's just a lonely walk for me. But, you know, the Skins, they have so many dollars on this particular hole, and if two of the players, any two, tie it, the dollars go to the next hole. And if that hole is tied, the dollars are added to the third hole, and it keeps going that way. And it's kind of fun to watch the banter. There's no mean looks. Not like in other competition, football, boxing, basketball, and the like. We are competitive. I think our sinful nature brings out that worst part in the Garden of Eden. The competition was set forth, and the devil offered the challenge to eat the forbidden fruit because you will be able to compete with God. The Bible says you will be like God, and it was a lie. Tonight's three words: it is finished. Who won? Who lost? How do you look at this kind of competition? You know, for sometimes when we think of Good Friday, it seems kind of sterile, if you will. You know, we don't see the body of Jesus. We don't smell death. We don't hear the two other criminals in their agony. We don't see the brutality of it, and we haven't been there to witness it before, and it seems kind of stagnant, as if it has no effect or power upon us. We tried to give you a little visual tonight by putting this crown of thorns up here, and I have to be very careful. You know, these hurt if you grab this the wrong way. How would anybody want to wear this tonight for the service? No takers? It is hard to imagine what it was like for Jesus. And the competition was on. So we have this for you. Does that help? The visual. What's it look like? I don't always get to come out here. Pastor Al, would you turn off the sanctuary lights? Yes. Who won? Who lost? The Jewish leaders, you remember when they were gathered and they thought it was fitting that one should die? And their other worry was that, you know, if he goes on like this, we're going to lose everything. The Romans are going to kill us. The Romans are going to do something. And so on Good Friday, in our own sense of our own today's kind of competition, we could imagine part of the Jewish leadership going, we won, right? They get to keep their power, they get to keep their position, they get to keep their nation, and they think they're safe. They won. the Romans. Their attitude might have been, as they watched, even though the centurion said, "Truly this is the Son of God." But the Romans, you remember their motto, "Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die." So today, in Good Friday, Jesus died. It was his turn. The Gentiles might have been confused. Why all the chaos? You know? Why all the fuss? It's just one life. Why crowd around? Why be so angry? I don't get it. Over one man, Jesus said, "It is finished." What did that mean? It meant the Son of Man and the Son of God died. It meant that he died before a Roman soldier put a spear in his side. I think it's pictured there. He died so that he was already deceased. They didn't break his legs. They would do that, you know, to shorten a person's time on a cross, because you can be up there for a long time. The nails don't kill you. They don't help, but they don't kill you. What kills you is your body begins to become so weak, loss of blood, fatigue, exhaustion, and all of that, that with your arms suspended like that above, and you cannot support your diaphragm, you die of suffocation. You can't get your breath. You ever had anybody punch you in the stomach, and then you can't get your breath? This is one of the hardest punches that ever existed. He said he breathed his last. Yeah, it is finished. One commentator, so this isn't my original statement, please note that, Jesus began and ended his life in the same way. He was born in a manger that wasn't his own, and he was wrapped in cloths that didn't amount to much. And when he died, he was placed in a tomb that wasn't his own, and he was wrapped in linen that didn't amount to much. It is finished. 2 points. It is finished reminds us of all the promises and all the fulfillment of that promises that gives God the glory. Jesus completed the course, the mission. The mission has been accomplished. And it was done according to the Father's will. Remember the words in the garden. He prayed, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And Jesus did the Father's will. And the will of the Father was to show a phenomenally deep, passionate, focused love on people. The Father's will was not to see people perish, but to see people have life. Life now and life in his kingdom, eternal life forever. The Father's will was that sins would be forgiven, and that the sinners would not have a debt to repay to God. The Father's will that your heart and your mind would be lightened and lifted, because Jesus took away death in the sense of the victory of death, sin in the sense of price of sin, and the devil in the sense of his power. The devil does not have power over you. God does. It is finished. In our world's view, both back then and now, Jesus, yeah, you're finished. You died. And the church made up his resurrection. There was even a book written called The Passover Plot. You ever read that one? Yeah. They stole his body. And then they went back and they said, oh, he's not here. You know, makes for great TV stuff. But it denies the historical event of God's power and action in human history, in human time, that Jesus was not finished. Secondly, it is finished means that you and I, in one way we have a rest, and in another way we have a mission. We have a purpose. And one way that we have a rest is that your sins are forgiven. Would you just take a deep breath and just let it out, like you've had the biggest good news you ever, and you're so relieved. You know, that's what that means. It's finished. We do not have to be anxious. We do not have to be full of anxiety. We do not have to have paranoia. We do not have to tremble in our shoes because we don't know what's going to happen. It is finished in the sense that the last chapter of the book tells you he won. He overcomes sin and death and the grave on Easter. But the price for sin is complete. There's nothing left to pay. And the other part is, now we don't just get to be pew potatoes. Okay? We have a mission. And the mission is to proclaim it is finished. We get to tell the world that sin has been paid for. Quit trying to work out your own spiritual health. Quit trying to find your own fix for hope and getting rid of your despair. Quit trying to find a peace for your conscience in the things of the here and now, because it won't work. We have a mission to proclaim that all of what we hold on to is no longer important. But instead, that through Jesus Christ, the victory is ours, and the devil be gone. It is finished in the Word made flesh. It is finished in the payment of the cross. It isn't defeat as we normally score defeat. Jews won, Jesus zero. They didn't like that above his head was the plaque, you know, Jesus, you know, King of Nazareth, right? They didn't like that. And today, it hasn't changed. We don't like the idea that there is one authority. There is one power, there is one truth, there is one King. Behold your King, who didn't delegate the sacrifice, who didn't make other people do his dirty work, but he leads the way, and the way is established. And it has been made sure and certain, and it is finished. Good Friday is a powerful time among us Christians that we get to sort of refocus into this truth of God's Word. We get to come back to the Nativity and to the cross and the empty tomb within a very short window of time. We get to sort of race car through history, if you will. On his 3 years of mission and ministry, his miracles and parables, and everything that he said and did. And then, after all said and done, they didn't get it. And the angels had to tell the women at the tomb and the disciples, he did it just as he said he would. It is finished. The suffering, the ultimate suffering that can ever be endured or experienced is finished for all believers. The ultimate payment for the debt of our sin, and boy, do we have a debt, right? It's finished. It's paid. Account zero. The ultimate act of love. The Jews thought they won. The Romans thought they got rid of a nuisance, and the Gentiles didn't think anything about it. It's just another death. But you and I recognize that through Jesus Christ, it isn't just finished, it's begun. For our living reconciled to God has begun. Our living in the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding has begun. Our living reconciled even to one another, because the sins that you and I do to each other, they get laid at the cross. I don't have to yell and put my fist in your face and say, "You'll pay for this," because Jesus paid for every stupid, vicious, mean, bullying, dirty, nasty trick there is. There's nothing left. And in Him, we are reconciled to God and to each other. It is finished. There's nothing for you to do. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. You can't merit it. You can't overthink it in terms of making it better. The plan is complete. And there's nothing like it. Three words of truth from the cross are the words that we hold on to among many of the words of Scripture. Christ breathed His last. His suffering is finished. And for us, on the day of resurrection, new life begins. So if it sounds commercial, you have to come back Sunday to catch the end of the story. But isn't it remarkable that the one who began wrapped in a manger ends wrapped in a borrowed tomb? And the stone was rolled closed. And the world thought the competition was over. The clock, the time, ran out. But they forgot. God's in charge of time. And God's in charge of the rules. And God did not blow His whistle like all is lost. But instead, the Son simply spoke, "The mission is finished." And in His death, He won. Amen.